since I've been preaching, a lot of times I guess assume to keep my seat when the Spirit of the Lord is moving. I don't want to get up here and do anything to squander it, I guess, if you'd have it. I don't want to put myself in the way, and I don't want to call somebody a blessing, I guess, if you'd have it. I just want to get myself out of the way and just let the Lord work and let the Lord move. And I believe that if we can get to that place, then we'll get a blessing. And if not, we'll just sit down and just go on about our way this morning. But it's a joy to be here this morning. It truly is. I woke up this morning and it seemed like I've been trying to, I guess, get a hold of something all week. And it seemed like I had so much running through my mind before I knew we was coming this way. And it seemed like when I found out we was coming this way, it seemed like it all just left me, I guess, if you'd have it. And I've just been trying to beg of the Lord to give me something and to let me get a hold of something. And I seemed like we were sitting there on the pew this morning, and it all just kind of come back at one time. And I really don't know which way to go this morning or where we're going to go, but I know that the Lord knows what we stand in need of. I truly do. And I woke up this morning, and I'm normally sick to my stomach when I get up on Sunday morning when I got to preach, or if I know I got to go somewhere and I don't have an appointment, but I know the Lord wants me to go somewhere. I wake up sick at my stomach, and I woke up this morning and I felt fine, and I felt good, and it was a strange feeling. And I remember telling my wife on the way out the door that I was excited and that I had missed it, because it's been a while since we've been able to stand and preach. And it's something that when you start preaching, when you have to go without it for a little while, it's something you desire, and it seemed like it just, I guess, builds up on the inside of you. And I might not stand but for 5 minutes, and if I don't, then that's okay. I've learned to let that go and to stop worrying about what people might think about me, or what anybody has to think about me. I guess if you have it, if I please the Lord, then that's all I need to do in this life, and it will work. And I believe that. And I began to think about that song they sung about the valley, and that of the valley that me and my wife are in right now, and that we've been going through, and that I just began to think about how sometimes, you know, the Lord, he doesn't always give us the strength to climb, but he can give us the strength just to keep going forward. And that it's just kind of where we're at this morning. And I appreciate that. You know, sometimes it's slow and steady, but it's always forward progress, as we've heard preached before. And I appreciate that. It's not always climbing that mountain, but sometimes the Lord's got to get you to the place where you're ready to climb that mountain, I guess, if you'd have it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate, you know, that's one of the songs that sometimes I'll be, I guess, just minding my own business, and we'll be getting ready, or we'll be doing something, and my wife will be in the bathroom getting ready, and that I'll hear her play that song, and it's been a song that's been a help to her, and that it's been a help to me just listening to it. And I appreciate that. He's always been there for us. And when we realize that it's not always the place to throw a pity party when we're in that valley, that any walk with the Lord is better than a walk without him. And I appreciate that. And like I said, I know I'm probably going to be scattered this morning, but I just want to do my best just to mind the Lord and that get myself out of the way. But we've been blessed to just have the Lord work in our life. And it seemed like we were at a place where every friend that we had before we started preaching, before we got saved, just seemed to forget that we even existed, you know. And we began to wonder why it just seemed like everybody had just left us, and we were all alone, I guess, if you'd have it, fleshly speaking, naturally speaking, in this life. And it seemed like there was a couple that we had not got along with, that we didn't really care to be around, but that was a fellow preacher, another one of our preachers, your brethren, and that seemed like the Lord just brought us together and has allowed us to yoke up. And it's so good in this life when you can find some people that are of the Lord and that are children of God that you can yoke up with. And it seems like the conversations are turned from the things of this world and they're on that of the Lord. And it's a blessing, and it truly is. But I may just have to talk to you this morning, and I'm sorry. If that's all we do, then that's all we do. I'm sorry. But it just seems like me and my wife are at a point in our relationship where we want to move forward, but it seems like the Lord just won't let us, and that he's making us wait on some things, and that is it's hard, naturally speaking, in this life. But you know, I began to watch some videos on YouTube of a man named Dave Ramsey. I'm sure some of you in here have probably heard of him, and that some of the principles and stuff that he teaches about getting out of debt, I guess, if you'd have it, and that we're trying to buy a house, and this is not a very good time to be trying to buy a house in the town that we live in. I guess if you'd have it, it's a seller's market, and it's kind of seems like the odds are stacked against us. But in that, the Lord has allowed me to see some things in this process that I haven't seen before. And I began to think about and listen to Dave Ramsey speak, and some of the things that he was talking about debt. And one of his biggest things is to get out of debt. You can't do anything in this life with that debt hanging over you. And that, I began to think about how that applies to every aspect of our life, but I'm just going to try to slow down for just a moment and read that of the scripture that the Lord has laid upon our heart. We just got one verse of scripture, I guess, if you'd have it, that we're going to try to read in the book of St. Luke in the 16th chapter, if you've got your Bibles with us. And I believe I tried to read the whole chapter, and some of it, I guess, still goes over my head, and that the Lord may explain it all to me one day, and when he does, it'll be good. But nonetheless, I just feel like reading this scripture this morning. It's the closest thing the Lord has laid upon our heart, and that we've been pondering on it for a while. But in the 16th chapter of the book of St. Luke, the Bible says in the 10th verse, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And that's as far as we feel like reading. And we began to think about that, and that are the things that we desire in this life a lot of times, and that how much that scripture actually pertains to. And I know here is talking about money, and that of how it can be a blessing and a curse to you, and that you know, it all boils down, if you want to get down to it, the love that we have in our heart, and that where that love is placed, and whether it's placed in godly things and that of our fellow man, or in the things of this world. But I began to think about how what this scripture says here and how it applies to everything in our life, and that I began to think about debt and how we all hate to make payments and to have payments in this life, and that We understand it naturally speaking and fleshly speaking to the things of this world, but we begin to think about it spiritually. You know, there was a time in my life when I owed a debt that I could not pay, and I know that's a popular song, and it's something that we've heard said many times, but I had no way of paying in that of my sin debt, and it seems like I just kept racking up those charges more and more, and it seemed like the balance just kept getting higher and higher. And there was a time in my life when a man named Jesus came along and paid that debt for me, and I have the ability now to live this life without that sin debt hanging over my head. And it's amazing in this life when people can realize and understand that the concept of money, and they realize that if they don't have any payments, and that, oh, we can be rich and we can have this and that, and there's a whole multitude of spiritual blessings that we can have and riches in the Lord that we can have, and we don't have that of sin debt hanging over your head. You know, when we were talking to our buddy last night, we went out with him, and we talked talking about how we look at these people and the things that we do, and that of the sins that we see happen in their life, and we think, man, that's awful and that's terrible, and I would never do that. You know, but we began to think about how there's no sin that's greater than the next. Sin is sin, and that a lot of times we think that just because we're not doing something that's as bad as somebody else in this life is doing, that it's okay, I guess, if you'd have it. But sin is sin, and sin will cause you to rack up a balance, I guess, so high in this life that you cannot pay it. There is no way out except through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that of letting Him save your soul. That's the only way out. That's the only way into heaven. There is no other way. And I think a lot of times we skew the point in this life, and we think that we're not a bad person by, I guess, the world's eyes, the world's view, and that we don't do anything that's terrible. But if you're lost and undone out in the world in sin and haven't been born again, then there's nothing you can do to pay that debt, I guess, and get your way into heaven except through the Lord. And I appreciate that. I really do. You know, I just began to ponder on that, and how it, at the basis of it and at the core of it, it can all be stemmed down to that. And we're all tied down in bondage in this life until we know the Lord, you know. And I appreciate that. And it seems like even, I guess, since I've been saved and before I was saved, I still try to test the waters a little bit and see just how far I can go. But I'm thankful that there's nothing that I can do that can remove my salvation from me. There's nothing this world can do to me to take that of my salvation. And I appreciate that. There's nothing in this world that can put me in bondage the way that I was in bondage. There's nothing that can hold me down in this world. Now, sometimes I let this world get me to the point where I feel like there's nothing I can do and there's nowhere I can go. But the only place we have to turn to is to the Lord. And I think about often, a lot of times, even people that aren't saved, in that they always, when something good happens to them, they always say, well, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But they won't fully accept that those blessings do come from the Lord, and that they won't just give their heart over to Him and be saved and let Him bless them. And I guess that's just this old flesh in it sometimes. I don't know. You know, I appreciate the Lord letting us wake up on a rainy day and have peace and joy in our heart and something that seems dreary and that. You know, I began to think about how if every prayer that we prayed is, if we had to have a bank account with our prayers in it that would help us through those rainy days when they come in this life, would I be able to make it through? Would I have that of the funds to make it through the hard times that come in this life? And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, that balance gets a little low in my life, and I realize that I've got to get down on my knees and start reading and studying and do that of a little bit more. You know, I began to think about how when my wife bought her new car, I may just have to rag on for a minute, but the car that she was driving was pretty messy on the inside. I don't know if it was just the woman in her or if it was just her nature, but it was messy on the inside of her car. And I don't mean to be funny, but I hope I can get my point across. But in that, she said that if I ever have a new car, then I won't treat it this way. I won't let it get dirty, and I won't let it get junked up. And we drove last night, and our friends rode with us. And you know, the first thing we had to do before we left town, we had to clean the car out so that it wasn't embarrassing for them to ride in the car with us. But I began to think about how the scripture here says that it says, "He that is faithful in which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And I began to think about that, how a lot of times in this life we say, "Well, Lord, if I can just get here, Lord, if you'll just give me this, I'll do better. Lord, if you'll just let us buy a bigger house, and the house won't be so messy, because we'll have more places to put stuff. We'll take care of it better, because it'll mean more to us." But if we're not faithful in that which is least, and we're not diligent in that of taking care of that, of being a steward of that the Lord has given us in this life, how can we expect Him to let Him trust us with things that are better, I guess, naturally speaking, in our eyes, and that of a bigger blessing? How can we ever trust the Lord in that if we don't put the effort into that we have? It's just like the parable of the talents and the one that squandered his talent away. He had the least among them, but his talent went to those that were better suited to handle and that were willing to be stewards of those talents that they were given in the right way. And that that talent could have been a blessing to him if he would have just been willing. There's no telling what the Lord could have given him and multiplied it into. There's no telling in this life. And I think a lot of times we get stuck in this mentality that the world is holding down the little man, and there's no way that we can succeed. But if we would just be diligent and faithful and thankful with the things that we do have, and that the Lord has blessed us with, before too long we'll look back and realize that the Lord has blessed us. And a lot of times, you know, I think about in this life, how this life can be, and we think that we'd never let ourselves get to the place that we see some of these people be at in this life. But I began to think about just how far this flesh will go if you're not careful, and how far that this flesh will go if you, even though you're where you need to be with the Lord, when you get out in the world, it's amazing what the things that these hands will do and that this body will do that you never thought you would. But, you know, I began to think about how sometimes it's subtle, and we just kind of slowly drift, and sometimes it seems like you make one wrong step, and it just seems like before you know it, you're just in a mess that you can't see your way out of. You know, in these storms that we had and that, we woke up in the middle of the night to the sirens going off again, and it scared us a little bit because we thought the storms were supposed to be over, and that we went up the hill to see what was going on. And when we come back down the driveway was like a river flooding over the driveway, and there was some 6x6s that were blocking the driveway, and we had to stop and get out. And I stopped and I moved them, but you know, there was no clear boundary, I guess, is that of where the road was. And sin can do that sometimes in this life. Sin can cloud your judgment and can get you to the point where you can't see that straight and narrow path that is of the Lord. And one step and I would have stepped off the driveway and went under into the, I guess, the culvert that was underneath it, sucked into the current, and it would have just been that fast. I would have been in a mess that I couldn't have got myself out of, and thank the Lord He kept us safe. But I think a lot of times in this life, when we let sin come in into our life, we begin to have that cloud of judgment, and we don't seem to know right from wrong as well as we should and as well as we do. of this life, and it's easy. It gets easier and easier and easier to drift away from the Lord, whether you've been saved or not. And I believe that if you've been saved for any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. It's the flesh in us. It's just human nature. It truly is. But I appreciate the Lord, and I've tried my best since I've had this scripture on my heart to take pride in what I do have, and to take pride in that of the little things. If I ever want to see Him grow to big things, you know, I appreciate that. You know, we should all treat our salvation as that, or whatever the calling is that you have from the Lord, whether it be big or small. It has a purpose and it has a meaning, whether it's just to sit there and pray. You know, I've had times in my life that people have prayed me through, and they've helped me and get me through some things that I couldn't get myself through on my own. And if they hadn't have been faithful to the Lord and done that the Lord had asked them to do, then it wouldn't have worked. I mean, I think a lot of times that the Lord uses us to be a blessing and a help to somebody. You know, I haven't always had the means to pay for the bill for my truck when it messed up and I couldn't drive it and it was in the shop and I didn't have a way to go. I haven't always had the means, but there's been family and people around me that have had the means that were willing to help me through that. And the Lord has always made a way. And if we'd ever just get willing to have the love for our fellow man in our heart, the giving part comes easy. And I think as Christians that we miss the part, we miss the mark sometimes when it comes to being generous and giving. We find it easy to give to the church on Sunday when we come in here, but when somebody's in need, it doesn't always have to be money. When somebody's in need of you to just give them a smile or to ask them how their day's going or to tell them that everything's going to be all right. And a lot of times we don't want to worry ourselves with having to walk over across the room to speak to them because we're just, I guess, stuck within ourselves, I guess, if you'd have it. But if we'd ever just get the love of our fellow man, I mean, any scriptures that you read in this book boils down to that, and that of the love that the Lord has for us and the love that we should have for our fellow man. And I appreciate that. You know, I've been reading in Zechariah a little bit, and I really don't understand it. And the visions and the stuff that you read about in the Old Testament, they just go right over your head until the Lord, I guess, gives you the understanding. But there, He was telling them that He was trying to measure out where they would be, and that of the city that they would be in, and how big it would be. But He told them that there would be that it would be filled. No, I guess no matter how big it was, that it would be packed and filled and blessed, and the Lord would protect him and be with him. And that of, I think a lot of times we worry about having the biggest house, but we forget of that, of what it's filled with and what's inside, what's on the inside of it, and that of the Lord. And I think it doesn't matter how big your house is, but it matters as to what's on the inside of it. So whether you're stuck with that which is least, or whether you're in, I guess, the phase of having the riches of the Lord, just be thankful of the Lord and be that of a good steward over it, and that of what you have. And it's amazing what the Lord can do to bless you. And it truly is. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I truly do. It seems like I've heard it said before that sometimes this thing called preaching can be feast or famine. And it seems like sometimes you're preaching every Sunday, and sometimes it just seems like it can be weeks and months before you get an opportunity to stand. But I began to think about this scripture and how it pertains to that too. And that in the times that we're not being blessed to stand, are we putting in the work and reading and studying like we should? You know, I find myself, I'm bad, and even in school, when I was in college and in high school and all, I was bad about cramming and studying for the test the night before, and I wouldn't put the work in the days before to study for it. And the Lord blessed me and always let me do all right, but sometimes I'm guilty of letting that fall over into this. And it's not a good place to be in this Christian life when we don't stay prayed up and we don't stay read up on the scriptures. It's a fearful place to be. It truly is, because we could be so much farther in our walk with the Lord if we would ever just be willing just to make the time and to put in the effort. We truly do. You know, as far as I know, the Lord ain't asking me to go do nothing that I can't handle, or nothing that I can't do demandingly, physically, naturally speaking. He's blessed me to be able to, to hold my own on my job and do this and do that. And He just asked us to just give our reasonable service and that of the our best effort that we can. And something as simple as reading our Bible, and we just forget to do it. You know, I'm guilty sometimes that I'll go lay down in the bed and I'll say, well, I won't read my Bible, but I'll just open the Bible app up on my phone and I'll read a little bit in there. It seems like when I get in there, I don't get near nearly as much out of it as I do when I open the book and I get down to business with the Lord and ask the Lord for understanding and for clarity and to show me things in this book. And I think a lot of times, I guess it's just the flesh and it's just this fast-paced world that we live in. It just seems like we don't have time. We never have the time to do everything that we want to do or that we think we need to do. It just seems like there's never time. But if you make time for the Lord, all these other things will take care of themselves. You know, the Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And I have had that scripture cross my mind, and I believe it to be the truth. I truly do. And I believe that a lot of times we need to be content in that of the season that we're in and the state that we're in our life. But always strive for more with the Lord, and He'll bless us, naturally speaking, in this life. He truly will, and I believe that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't always act on that, I guess, if you'd have it, but I do believe it to be true. And when I do, put the let the rubber meet the road and get down to business with the Lord, it's amazing how He blesses you and He can take care of you. But I don't want to tarry on any farther or put myself in it. I truly don't. I feel like that's as far as the Lord would have us to go this morning. But I just want you to know that this morning, I don't know where your heart's at or where you're at with the Lord, but I do know that whether you're lost and undone or you're struggling or you're just on the fence about just coming back to the Lord, it is worth it. It truly is. And this world might have some other things to tell you, but I couldn't imagine going through this world without the Lord now that I've known Him. And that Dave Ramsey, I guess in one of the videos I watched, he said, I met the Lord on the way up, and He went bankrupt and lost everything He had. And he said, I got to know Him on the way down. And that's the truth, folks. We truly get to know the Lord when we're in hard times and when we're going through things. And I couldn't imagine going through the things that I've been through in this life without the Lord. I truly couldn't. It's easy to see how people get in the state and the shapes that they're in without the Lord. It truly is. And they try to make all kind of excuses that they can possibly make to justify where they're at and what they're doing and what they're not doing. But at the end of the day, when this thing's over, when my end of time comes and I lay this old body down, I can be with the Lord because I've made the preparations on this side and I've been saved, and I appreciate that. There might come a time when you don't have that opportunity anymore. We don't know what's coming to us. We don't know. We were so thankful and saying, Lord, please keep us safe in these storms. And then you look and there's people that lost their lives and lost their homes and lost everything they had. And you say, thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe. But we forget to think about the people that weren't so fortunate in that of this life. But we need to make the preparations that we can make before it's too late for us. While we still have time, be saved and get saved. And it scares me because people in this life believe that there is a God, and they believe that in this in church, and they believe in the Lord, and they believe in hell, but they won't get a hold of it. I guess they just don't. They don't think hell's hot enough for them to come meet the Lord. But I promise you, there's nothing in this life that you've been through or that you're going to go through that could even compare to how awful hell will be if you don't come to meet the Lord before your time on this earth is done. But I appreciate it. That's as far as we feel like going. I'm not going to put myself in it. But it's been good to be here this morning. I truly do appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the Lord for just allowing us another day. I truly do. That's as far as we feel like going this morning.